Now, when you get back home from camp, there's some habits you're going to have to break. When someone says what time it is, don't say, it's not too awake! That'll scare everybody. It's 2 o'clock, tell them it's 2 o'clock. Now, I was thinking about awake, and I stayed awake quite a bit last night, thinking about awake. And I thought, now, you know, there's so many stories in the Bible about people that were sleeping. And so I started thinking about all these people that were sleeping in the Bible. I thought about Adam. God made him go to sleep. When he woke up, there was a woman there. Hadn't been there before. And then I thought about Jonah. He was asleep on the ship when they were in the midst of a terrible storm. And they woke him up and said, hey, what are you sleeping? You should be calling on your God just like all the rest of us are calling on our God. Mm-hmm. And that story took an interesting turn, didn't it?
Yes.
And then there's others. I remember reading about Saul, King Saul, when he was pursuing David and he wanted to hunt him down and kill him. It says he was sleeping one night in his camp and David snuck into the camp and got right next to him. And David could have killed him, but David wouldn't do such a thing. But he took Saul's spear and his bolster by his head, and then he snuck away, and then he called, wake up! And then Saul woke up. Who is that? It's David. He said, look what I got. He showed him his spear. And Saul realized David could have killed him while he was sleeping. But David didn't. Oh, I can go. There's a whole list of people that went to sleep in the Bible. There's one person that was sitting on the windowsill when the Apostle Paul was preaching, and he fell asleep and fell out the window. And it appeared as though he died. But they gathered around him and they prayed and God raised him up. That's never happened to me yet. That's why I make sure our church is on the first floor. So I won't be guilty of such a crime. Praise God. But the one that the Lord called my attention to, after I was praying and thinking, I said, Lord, you got to give me something for tomorrow morning. You know, and then the Lord gave me something and I looked at it. And I went to bed. Praise God. And then I woke up again to look at it again. It's in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. It's about a man named Peter. Who's ever heard of Peter? You know who Peter was? Cottagers? He was one of the followers of Jesus, right? He was one of the apostles. The apostle Peter. Praise God. Now, who's ever heard the expression, wake up and smell the coffee?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you ever heard that expression, wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah. I actually heard of a man that woke up because he smelled the coffee. My friend, he comes from an Italian family. And the Italians like to do, I'm half Italian, this half. I love Italian food. And, you know, we get together with Italian relatives, the food just keeps coming. Right? First comes the fish, I can let that go. I'm not interested in fish, but then there's salads, and there's pastas, and there's meats, you know, and it just keeps coming. And my friend said that in his house, they would get together for Christmas or Easter or other celebrations, and they would eat. You know, the word is manja. That means eat. And one of his uncles, after they were done eating, he loosened his belt, you know, because he was stuffed. And then he'd go upstairs and take a little rest in the bedroom, you know. Go to sleep. He'd say, call me when it's time for dessert. But they didn't have to call Uncle Luigi. They said, watch this. His mother would take the coffee pot and stand by at the bottom of the stairs and just hold it there. And as the aroma made its way up the steps, all of a sudden the door would open. Uncle Luigi's, he's awake. He woke up and smelled the coffee. And so it actually happens. Praise God. But awake and smell the coffee means, listen, wake up and face reality. Yeah. Don't you realize what's happening to you? You know, wake up. Stop dreaming. And deal with things. Well, here we read about the Apostle Peter. And here in this story in the book of Acts, it tells us that King Herod wanted to do the Jews a favor. He had many Jewish people in his kingdom, and he wanted to keep them happy. So he knew that they were against Christianity, the spread of the gospel. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they wanted to put a stop to that preaching. And so it says that he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. You know, we read about Peter, James, and John in the Bible. They were always together, and they seemed to be especially close to Jesus. Peter, James, and John. And it's a sad story that James was put to death for serving the Lord. He was arrested, and then the king ordered that he be executed. And they stabbed him with a sword, and he died. And John must have felt bad about that. That was his brother. And of course, Peter was very close to him as well. And then it says that he then arrested Peter. And he was going to have Peter stand trial. And it appeared as though he was the next to go. And it tells us that he apprehended him. This is verse 4. Acts 12:4. He put him in prison. He delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. That means 16 soldiers were in charge of watching Peter to make sure he didn't escape, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He was going to be put on trial, and no doubt he would have been the same outcome as had happened to James. He sure didn't want Peter to get away. He had 16 soldiers watching him in prison there. And it says that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. While Peter was in prison, the people of God, the other Christians, got together and they started praying. You know, God answers prayer.
Amen.
God hears us when we pray. Amen. Prayer makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Prayer brings God into the situation. Mm-hmm. And so they began to pray. They said, Lord, we need Peter. You know, the New Testament had not yet been written. They depended on the apostles to teach them the things that they learned from Jesus. The apostles were especially important to the early church, because these men lived with Jesus 3.5 years. They heard Jesus teach things. They heard Jesus explain things. They saw things that Jesus did and the way he lived. And so the apostles would teach these things to the people and help them to love and serve and follow the Lord. And they lost James. And now Peter. Peter seemed to be next. And they said, Lord, don't let anything happen to Peter. We need him, Lord. And God, deliver him somehow. Don't let him be put to death. Now, maybe some prayed when he stands before the trial, before the court, give him favor and let them release him. Maybe they prayed that way. Or, you know, maybe they came up with some other ideas as to how God could release Peter. You know, we do that when we pray. We come up with an idea and then we tell God how to go about doing it. But he doesn't always do it the way we tell him. Did you notice that? And he doesn't always do it like we tell him to do it. He has his own time and he has his own way. And he always does all things well. And so we're told here that they were praying for God without ceasing. Just kept praying. And when Herod would have put him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Let's see. So it's nighttime now, and the people of God are still praying. They're having a prayer meeting throughout the night. And they're just calling on God, waiting on God. And Peter's sleeping. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew that I might die the next day or in the next few days, I think I'd have a hard time sleeping. But here we read Peter was sleeping. I think that that's an expression of Peter's trust in God. You know, he knew his life was in God's hands. And so he wasn't going to stay up all night worrying about what might happen. That's what we do. We stay up all night worrying. Then we wake up the next morning, and our worrying didn't help at all. Just wore us out. But Peter, he just committed his life to God and said, Lord, you're going to take care of me. If you want to take me home now, I'm ready to go. And if you want me here longer, then nobody can take my life, but you're going to preserve it. And so Peter was sleeping. And then the Lord sent an angel into the prison. Wow. And it says a light shone in the prison. This is before the days of electricity. But suddenly the prison just blazed with light. It became bright inside there. And then it says the angel smote Peter and told him to wake up. I don't know if he gave him a little kick or what he did, but he aroused Peter, and then it says he raised him up and said, arise, up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. The handcuffs, the chains just dropped off. He was free. And then it says, the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals, get dressed, and follow me, put your sandals on. Let's go, we're getting out of here. And he said unto him, cast your garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and he followed him, and he didn't realize that this was actually really happening. He thought he was dreaming. You ever have a dream that's so real? You ever have a dream that when you're done dreaming, when you wake up, you want the dream to continue, so you try to go back to sleep and continue the dream? Yeah? It doesn't always work, does it? Well, Peter thought he was dreaming, but he was going with it. He was following an angel out of the prison. And then it says that when they got outside the prison, they passed the first and second group of soldiers, and then they came to an iron gate that leads into the city. Evidently, the prison was outside the city. And the gate opened to him all by itself. It just automatically opened, like when you go to Walmart. It just opens the door. Right? And Peter walked through the gate. And when he went down one street, the angel left. And then it says Peter came to himself. Now he smelled the coffee, see? Now he realized what was really happening. And he realized he was free. He was. This wasn't a dream. An angel really woke him up, took him out of the prison, opened the gate. And so Peter went, and he went to the house of John, it says, and when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. There's a young man named John Mark who lived there with his mother Mary. And that's where they were having the prayer meeting. And so Peter knocked on the door, and a servant girl, Rhoda, answered the door and said, who is it? It's Peter. She ran back and told everyone, Peter's at the door. And they said, what are you, crazy? That wasn't a nice thing to say. They said, you're out of your mind. That can't be Peter. Peter's in prison. She said, no, I heard him. He's out there. And Peter's standing out in the cold, knocking, waiting for someone to answer. And they're inside arguing as to whether it's really Peter or not. Because they didn't expect God to answer their prayer so quickly. And then when Peter finally came in and told them how God answered their prayer, now they were really blown away. I don't think anybody prayed, God, send an angel and, make him wake Peter up and lead him out and open the gate all by itself. That was all God's plan. And, sometimes God does that. He answers our prayers much more quickly than we expect him to. Sometimes we come with this attitude, God, I know that this is a big problem, and it's going to take you a while. I'm going to have to pray for days about this one. So I'm not even expecting you to answer today, I don't want to be unreasonable. And tomorrow, I would be expecting a lot too. It's a big one. But I'm going to keep praying, and until I think, you're ready to answer, or we're ready. That's too bad when we pray like that. Mm-hmm. God is a merciful God. He never answers our prayers because we deserve the answer. He does want us to pray, and he has reasons for that. And he does have a time when he wants to answer. He has reasons for that too. But when we start praying about something, we need to expect that God's going to answer at any moment. And he's going to do it any way he wants to. And his way is going to be much better than any way that we could tell him to do it. And that's why they were so surprised, you know. They obviously have faith. God responded to their faith, that he heard their prayers. That's why he sent the angel. So we don't want to read this story and think, well, they had no faith and they doubted. No, I think just God answered in a way that was unbelievable to them. They didn't expect it to come this way, and they didn't expect it to happen so quickly. But God does things his way in his time for his glory. You know, I think this story serves as an illustration for us. You know, we heard that all of us are asleep. You know, we're all like that. We're half asleep. You know, God has put us here in this world. He wants us to love him and serve him, and he's got a job for us to do. And we're all half asleep sometimes. And he's got to wake us up somehow. Maybe that's why he brought you to Pilgrim Camp, to wake you up.
Amen.
What are you doing with your life? You're like half asleep. I've got wonderful things I want to do in your life, ways in which I want to use you. There are people that I want you to be a blessing to. I put you in that school so that I can touch those people through you.
Amen.
It's time to wake up.
Amen.
I put you on that job so that I can make you a blessing to those that you work with. I put you in that family, and I want my light to shine through you.
Yes.
And touch your brothers and your sisters and your mother and your father.
Thank you, Lord.
But you're not doing it. You're not seeking me the way you should. You're not letting me bless you so that you can bless others. And so I want you to wake up. And so God does that for us while we're here at camp. He makes us to think about our life, and we wake up and smell the coffee, and we say, hey, you know, my life really isn't going so good. I'm really not what God wants me to be. I'm not really seeking the things of God the way I should. I'm wasting a lot of time on a lot of worthless things that aren't going to amount to anything. Maybe I'm getting myself into some things that are going to get me into trouble somewhere along the way if I keep it up. I need to wake up. I need to change direction. I need to start moving in God's direction. And then the chains fell off. You know, we realize I can't follow God. I'm bound by things. These things that I've been giving myself over to, that I thought I was in control of, I find out they're now in control of me. And I can't get free from these things. I've got some bad habits. I've gotten involved in some things. And there's just sinful things in my life that are like chains that are keeping me back from following God. I've awakened to the fact that I need to get going and I need to follow him, but I realize that I can't. And then I pray, oh Jesus, break these chains that hold me back. Wash away my sins. Lord, set me free by your power, by the power of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And you'll find that God will make the chains fall off, that he'll set you free. The truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed, we read. And then you'll say, now, come on, get dressed. Get dressed and follow me. Come on. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, Peter tells us when he wrote his letter. In other words, listen, now learn how to follow Jesus. Get rid of the things in your life that get in your way, that distract you, that keep you from being your best for God. And get those sandals on and start marching forward. And those things that you might trip over, pick them up and tuck them in your belt and just begin to follow Jesus. Jesus will teach you how to do that as you read his word, as you learn to pray, as you go to his house and worship and fellowship with other believers. God will help you step by step to follow close to him. Praise God. And then there may be some obstacles that present themselves, things that get in our way. things that are coming up that will try to keep us from going all the way with the Lord. It's a big iron gate, and we don't have the key. We don't know how to open it. And so then what do? We give up? We turn around and go back to prison? No, we say, Jesus, you woke me up. You delivered me from my bondage. You prepared me to take steps to follow you. And now this obstacle standing in my way, but nothing is impossible for you to remove.
Amen.
And Lord, I'm going to believe you to open the door and make the way for me to get where you want me to be and to follow you all the way. And you'll find that throughout your life, obstacles will present themselves. Things will happen. Trouble will come sometimes. But when we commit it to the Lord will open the way for us. Praise God. And then we'll be able to serve him. Hallelujah. And God will begin to fulfill his purpose in our lives. And he'll bless us and he'll make us a blessing to others. Now, I don't know where you are here at camp. Maybe you're asleep and God's waking you up. I'm letting you know that there's much more to life than what you and your friends have been living. You know, look at some of your friends and the direction their life is going. These people, they don't know God. They've got no real reason for living. Well, maybe God needs to wake you up. Maybe he has woke you up already. I hope so. And then maybe you feel like you're chained up. You've got things in your life that you can't get free from. Well, God wants to break those chains and cause them to fall off. And he'll do that for you as you reach out to him. Sometimes in meeting, as we're praising God or we're listening to the word of God, there's a snap. Something breaks inside us. And we don't have to live that way anymore. We're free now to live the way God wants us to live. Maybe you've been freed and you've awakened and you've been freed, but maybe you need to learn how to follow Jesus and stay close to him and walk in his way. And while you're here at camp, the good things that you're hearing is just the help you need to help you to live for Jesus where you are from and in your situation when you go back home. Oh, praise God.
Thank you.
And then maybe you're here at camp and you're thinking, when I go back home, there's a big iron gate. Those friends that I used to hang around with, they're going to try to get me, drag me back into the old way of life and get me doing those things again that I know I shouldn't be doing. Maybe you've got a difficult situation at home, and it's like a big iron gate that tries to keep you from serving God and enjoying his presence and living in his joy. God knows about all the gates, all the iron gates. And if you just give yourself to Jesus and go back home and say, Lord, I'm going to go back into that situation, and you're going to open that gate. You're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm going to trust you, Lord.
Great.
You know, the Bible says that when he, as the good shepherd, sends his sheep somewhere, he always goes first, ahead of them. And that's exactly what he wants to do for all of us when we go back home from camp. He's going to go back home. He's going to go to your house with you. He's going to get back to school with you in September. He's going to go before you. And he's going to make a way for you to continue to serve him. And he's not going to let anything stop you. You make a way where there seems to be no way. Because he's such a wonderful Savior. And so, that's my story about wake up and smell the coffee. Praise God. Peter woke up. And God did great things for him. And God's doing great things for us as we wake as well. Oh, praise God. Let's just ask him to help us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you will wake us up.
Yes.
Lord, no matter how long we've been serving you, whether we're young or old, we all need to be awakened in some way to the greater call of God over our life. Lord, the things of this world tend to lull us to sleep, and But Lord Jesus, you want to quicken us and make us alive unto God. And so we pray for a great awakening to take place in our lives here at camp, Lord. Jesus, oh God, don't let us keep living and wasting our days as we do, Lord. But help us to strive for your best and to be our best for you, Lord. We don't want to miss anything, any good thing that you have in store for us, Lord. And then we pray, Lord, that you'll break chains in our lives.
The bondages, the
desires that drag us down. Oh God, the addictions that have come into our hearts in one way or another. Lord, we pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll break them. Break them and all these girls, all these children. We as adults, Lord, set us free. Free to serve you, Lord. And then God, teach us how to prepare ourselves to follow you. Jesus, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with the Word of God. Jesus, we pray, give us good desires and grace to follow on after you. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll go before us. Lord, don't let us fear the obstacles that are awaiting us at home, the mountains that are in our way, the gates, the iron gates. Lord, but, oh God, we pray that as we go back home, that we'll just keep going forward and know that God will open the gate and make a way for us to continue to grow in Jesus and get closer to him and get more filled with him all the time. Lord, we don't have to leave it all back here at camp, but this is just the beginning of wonderful things that you are going to do in days ahead. Oh God, so take away those fears and fill us with faith and rejoicing and great expectation. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We have a song. Arise, my soul, arise. As you sing the song, you'll think of the story of Peter and how the dungeon flamed with light and so on. And let's respond. Hallelujah. Let's say, Jesus, from this day forward, I'm going to rise by your grace and follow you.
It's
not in here. Oh, man, it's such a good song. I should have checked that. Arise, my soul, arise. Okay. Well, we can't sing it then. So let's sing another song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me just think a moment. He lifted me. Good. That was quick. What number is that, Brother Paul?
451.
Okay. 451. He lifted me. Praise God. That's good, too. And as we sing the last verse, I suppose, our young ladies will. And cottagers will. Our young ladies here in the village will follow the instructions of their counselors. Here we go. Let's stand together.
Thank you. you for your presence with us, O Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word that we've heard today. Oh, Father, we thank you that each day, Lord Jesus, you have something for us and you want to bring us into a greater awareness of what you are saying to us, Lord, and calling us to. And so I pray that as we leave this place, Lord, oh, Lord, that we would be awakened, Lord Jesus, that we would hear your voice, Lord, that still small voice within our spirits, oh, God, where you are calling us and beckoning us and telling us, Lord, that there's something else, there's something more, there's a way that you want us to walk, oh, God. And so we pray that today, Lord, we would hear you, Lord Jesus, and we would respond to that call, oh, God. Be with us, Lord, throughout the rest of this day, and let us be a blessing to one another. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. You're saying forgive us, please, sister, leave us.